理课堂听 class.com。
Scrooge and the ghost entered the house. As always, they were like shadows, and none of the family could see them. First, they saw Mrs. Cratchit. She was wearing an old dress that had been repaired in many places. This was because she never had any money to make a new dress. However, this dress had many ribbons on it. Ribbons are very cheap, and they can make an old dress look a little prettier. Mrs. Cratchit and one of her daughters, Belinda, put a cloth on the table. Belinda was wearing the same kind of dress as her mother. Meanwhile, Peter Cratchit, the oldest boy, stuck a fork into a pan of potatoes that were cooking on the stove. Now and then, when he thought no one was looking, he tasted a little bite of potato. Peter was wearing his father's best shirt in honor of Christmas Day. He felt very proud of himself and wished that he could show his clothing to his friends in the park. Now, the two smaller Cratchits, a boy and a girl, came running into the house. They were noisy and happy.
Mama, we were playing in the snow outside the baker's shop, and we smelled a goose. That's our goose, isn't it, Mama?
The girl cried out. The children were thinking happily of the delicious goose with herbs and onion, and danced around the table. They made their older brother, Peter, dance with them, so that he almost forgot the potatoes on the stove. Soon the potatoes were cooked and jumping around in the water ready to be peeled.
Where can your dear father be?
Mrs. Cratchit asked the children.
And your brother, Tiny Tim, and your sister, Martha. They weren't nearly as late last Christmas Day.
Suddenly the door opened and Martha Cratchit came in.
Here I am, Mother,
she said. Hurrah, it's Martha, cried the younger children, running to their sister. Martha, we're going to eat a big goose, and it smells so good.
Why, my dear, how late you are,
said Mrs. Cratchit, kissing Martha many times. She took off Martha's coat and scarf quickly.
Well, Mother, we had a lot of work to finish last night,
said Martha.
And then we had to clean up this morning. Well, that's all right, dear, as long as you are here with us,
said her mother.
Now, come and sit in front of the fire and get warm.
Wait, wait, I hear Father coming, cried one of the little children. Hide, Martha, so you can surprise him.
So Martha went and hid, and in came Bob Cratchit. His long scarf was full of holes, and his clothes were old and worn, but his wife had made them look nicer for Christmas. Bob Cratchit had a little boy sitting on his shoulder. This was Tiny Tim. Scrooge, watching the whole scene with the ghost, was surprised to see that this poor little boy was lame and crippled. He could not walk very well. He had a crutch with him, and his thin legs were supported with an iron frame.
"Where is Martha?"
asked Bob, looking around the house.
"She isn't coming, Father," said one of the little children. "Not coming? Not coming home on Christmas Day? But this is terrible," cried Bob.
He had almost run home from church with Tiny Tim, because he was so excited about seeing his oldest child. Martha, who was hiding in the closet, did not want to see her father so disappointed, so she ran into the room crying,
"But here I am, Father,"
and hugged him. The two younger children took Tiny Tim in to wash his hands for dinner and tell him about the goose.
"How did little Tim behave at church? Was he good?"
asked Mrs. Cratchit.
"He was as good as gold," said Bob. "Even better than that. You know, Tim has always been a thoughtful little boy, because he's alone so much. He has some of the strangest and most wonderful ideas I have ever heard. When we were coming back from church, He told me that he hoped that everyone saw him in church because he was a cripple. Tim thought it might be nice for the people to remember on Christmas Day that our Lord Jesus made blind men see and lame old beggars walk. Bob's voice was trembling with emotion as he spoke to his wife, and Mrs. Cratchit shook her head in amazement at their little son. Bob's voice trembled even more with happiness when he said that Tiny Tim seemed to be growing a little stronger. Scrooge could hear Tiny Tim's little crutch moving on the floor, and his brother and sister helped him move over to his little chair by the fire. Bob began to make a special Christmas drink that was made with gin, lemons, juices, and spices. Then he put it on the fire to heat up. Peter and the two younger Cratchit children went to pick up the goose from the baker's. Soon they returned with it, carrying it as if it were a little baby. You might have thought that a goose was the rarest and most delicious of all birds, and truthfully, the Cratchits, being a poor family, thought that nothing could be better. Then the activity really began. Mrs. Cratchit made a sauce for the goose. Peter Cratchit mashed the potatoes and added a little salt and butter, which the family had saved especially for this day. Miss Belinda added sugar to the applesauce, and Martha held the dinner plates in front of the fire so that they would be nice and warm. Bob took Tiny Tim to sit next to him at a corner of the table, and the two young children put chairs around the table for everyone. They didn't forget themselves, of course. Then the children sat down and put their hands over their mouths so that they wouldn't cry out for the goose before it was their turn to have some. At last, Martha came and put the plates on the table, and the whole family sat down to say the blessing for the food. Mrs. Cratchit brought the goose to the table. The whole family waited excitedly as she cut the goose with the knife. How wonderful it smelled! They could not stop talking about it. Even Tiny Tim banged his fork on the table and weakly cried out, "Hooray!" with the other children. There never was such a delicious bird. Bob said he thought it was the best goose in the world. The tenderness and flavor of the meat, and the crisp skin, and how big it was. And it didn't cost very much money. With the apple sauce and the mashed potatoes, it was enough food for the Cratchits and their six children. When Mrs. Cratchit saw one small bone left on the plate, she laughed and said that she was glad the family had eaten all the goose for once. The youngest children were so full and happy that they couldn't even speak. After Martha and Belinda had cleared away the dinner plates, Mrs. Cratchit went to bring out the Christmas pudding. This pudding was like a delicious cake with fruits and spices. She did not want anyone to watch her while she took the pudding off the stove and put it onto a plate. Suppose it was not cooked enough? Suppose it broke while she was taking it out of the pot? What if someone had climbed over the fence into the yard behind the house while they were busy eating the goose and stolen the pudding? At this thought, the two youngest children became angry. All sorts of terrible things were imagined. But, hello, what was this? A great cloud of steam rose that was filled with the spices and oranges and fruits and cake all mixed together. Mrs. Cratchit placed a piece of holly plant on the pudding for decoration, and then poured some liquor over the pudding. She lit a match and set the pudding on fire. The fire was a blue color because of the alcohol in the liquor, and burned brightly. Then she took the pudding inside the house to her family. She was smiling proudly. What a beautiful pudding it was! The blue flame shone brightly. After they blew out the fire on the pudding, each person in the family got a piece. How delicious it was! How sweet and spicy! Bob said that he had never eaten one like it in his life. It was the greatest thing Mrs. Cratchit had achieved since their marriage. Mrs. Cratchit said that she was relieved,
because she was worried there had not been enough flour in the pudding. Each person in the family had something to say about the pudding, but no one said that it was a very small pudding for such a large family. That would have been a terrible thing to say. None of the Cratchit children would ever have said that to their mother. At last the Christmas dinner was finished, and the plates cleared away from the table, and the floor swept. Bob put a little more wood on the fire. Bob tasted the Christmas drink he had made, with the gin and lemons, and said it was perfect. There were some apples and oranges to eat, and some nuts. The nuts were put in the coals of the fire to roast inside their shells. Then the whole family gathered around the fire. Bob poured the drink into some little cups and passed them around. "A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears," he said, holding up his cup. "God bless us." The whole family repeated his words, and Tiny Tim said last of all, "Yes, God bless us, everyone." As they sat together next to the fire, Bob held his little son's thin hand tightly in his, as if he were afraid little Tim was a ghost and might disappear or be taken away from him. Scrooge looked at poor small Tiny Tim and felt an emotion he had never felt before.
"Ghost," he said, "tell me if Tiny Tim will live. In the future, I see an empty little chair by the fireplace, and a little crutch that has no owner lying next to that chair," said the ghost. "The future says that the child will die." "Oh, no, no, good spirit," cried Scrooge. "Please tell me that Tiny Tim will live. If the future is not changed in some way, Tiny Tim will die," said the ghost, a little sadly. "But what of it? If he is going to die, he should hurry up and do it. He is weak and sick. As you said yourself, the population is too large. A few more deaths won't hurt." Scrooge hung his head. He remembered what he had said to the gentleman in his office, the man who had asked him to give money to the poor. How terribly he had acted! Scrooge's heart was filled with shame and sadness. The ghost of Christmas Present looked deep into Scrooge's eyes. "Ebenezer Scrooge," he said, "if you are a man and not a statue made of cold stone, do not say things like that again until you discover what the truth really is. Can you decide who should live and who should die? Have you never thought that perhaps, in the eyes of God in heaven, men like you are more worthless and deserve to live less than millions of others, like this poor man's sick child? It is as if you are a rich man on top of a mountain, saying there is too much life on the planet, when your hungry brothers are sitting below you in the dirt." Scrooge turned his face away and bent his head even lower at the ghost's words. He looked at the ground, feeling terrible. The ghost was right, but he raised his head up when he heard his name. "Well, a toast to Mr. Scrooge," Bob Cratchit was saying. "Mr. Scrooge is the buyer of this feast."
"The buyer of this feast?"
cried Mrs. Cratchit angrily. Her face turned red.
"I wish that man was here right now. I would—"
"My dear," said Bob, "think of the children. It's Christmas Day." He did not want the children to see their mother so angry.
"Only on Christmas Day could a person drink to the health of such a terrible, greedy, hard, unkind old man as Mr. Scrooge,"
said Mrs. Cratchit.
"Oh, Robert, you know how he is."
But Bob only said gently, "My dear, it's Christmas Day."
"Well, I'll drink to Mr. Scrooge's health for your sake and for Christmas Day,"
said Mrs. Cratchit,
"but not for his. So, a long life for Mr. Scrooge, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year."
but I doubt he will have either."
The children also drank to Mr. Scrooge's health, but no one was very happy about it. Tiny Tim drank last of all, and looked especially sad. You see, dear reader, Scrooge was something like a terrible monster to the Cratchit children. A monster who made their father work too hard for almost no money. The mention of Scrooge's name made everyone quiet for a few minutes. But then the unhappiness went away as if it had never happened. Bob told his family that he had found a job for Peter. He would earn a whole 5 and 6 pence in a week. The two young children laughed loudly at the thought of their brother Peter being a man of business. Peter himself stared at the fire and looked as if he was thinking very hard about what he should do with all that money. Martha, who worked at a miller's, told her family all about the sort of work she had to do and how many hours she worked at one time. She intended to lie in bed tomorrow morning, resting, because tomorrow was a holiday for her, and she would stay at home. She told them how a few days ago, when she was out, she had seen a great lord and lady of London.
"The lord was about as tall as Peter,"
she said, and the whole family laughed, because Peter was not very tall.
"I've never seen such clothes in my life. They were so beautiful. I can't imagine how much money they cost,"
she said, and her mother sighed. There was almost never enough money for the family to have new clothes. While everyone was talking, they passed around the roasted nuts and drank many glasses of the Christmas drink, which warmed their bodies. After a while, they sang a song about a lost child traveling in the snow. Tiny Tim sang the song especially well, and he had a sweet voice. There was nothing very beautiful or fancy about this family, their house, or what they were doing. The people in the family were not beautiful. They were not well dressed, and their shoes did not keep out the snow or rain. Their clothes were very poor. I am sure that young Peter Cratchit knew what the inside of a pawnbroker's store, where people go to sell their possessions for money, looked like. But this family was loving and kind, and they were happy and grateful for what little they had. They were happy that it was Christmas, and they could all be together. As Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas Present left the house, the Cratchit family's faces shone in the light of their fire and the light of the ghost torch. Scrooge kept his eyes on all of them, but especially Tiny Tim, until he could not see them any more. Scrooge and the ghost walked the cold city streets once again. It was snowing heavily, and it was getting dark. Scrooge and the ghost passed many houses, and Scrooge saw the brightness of the fires in the kitchens and sitting rooms. There were large, beautiful houses, and small, poor ones. In one house, the firelight showed people preparing a warm dinner, and in another, some beautiful red curtains were being closed to shut out the dark and cold. At one house, Scrooge watched as all the little children ran out into the snow to be the first to greet their older relatives who had come to dinner. Sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, the whole family. There were shadows on the window of guests eating and drinking, and in the street Scrooge saw a group of young ladies walking down the street to a party at their neighbor's house. They had red cheeks, blue eyes, and curly hair. They were all talking at once. They were quite pretty, and they knew it. I suppose they were wondering about the young men they would meet at the party. It seemed to Scrooge that there were so many people on their way to Christmas parties and dinners that there might not be anyone home to greet them when they got there. But there were just as many people expecting company, and every house had a bright, warm fire all ready for their guests. How happy the ghost of Christmas Present was! Wherever the ghost walked, he spread his beautiful green robe and brought laughter and happiness to all the people nearby, even though they could not see him. He waved his torch around and laughed and danced. When the ghost passed a boy who was lighting the street lamps, the boy laughed aloud, although he didn't know why. Perhaps he laughed just because it was a beautiful Christmas evening. Then, all of a sudden, the whole scene changed without a word of warning from the ghost. Scrooge realized that they were standing on a wide, flat field outside the city. It was dark and cold, but the red sun shone its last light on some large stones on the flat ground. The stones were large and tall. There was a stream with frozen water in it. Everywhere there was dead grass. It was a terrible, lonely, frightening place.
"What is this place, ghost?" asked Scrooge. "This is a place where miners live," answered the ghost. "They work under the ground, digging for stone and coal. Their life is hard and terrible, more terrible than you can imagine. But they know me. You'll see."
They walked towards a very tiny wooden house sitting in the middle of the field. Inside, there were many people gathered around a fire. There was an old lady and man, and their children, and their grandchildren, and even their great-grandchildren. They were all gathered around the fire, trying to keep warm. But although the little fire was not enough, and the small children shivered, the whole group was celebrating Christmas. The old man was singing a very old Christmas song. He had learned it when he was just a small boy long ago. Now and then some of the other people would sing with him. Scrooge wondered how all these people were able to feed themselves and how these poor people could take care of their children. But the ghost did not want to stop there.
"Hold on to my robe," he said to Scrooge.
Scrooge felt a little afraid. Where was the ghost going to take him now? Scrooge had a feeling he wasn't going to like it. He held on to the ghost's robe, and they began to fly. Where were they going? To the ocean? They were flying over the water. Scrooge shut his eyes and prayed he wouldn't fall. Then Scrooge heard the loud water crash against some rocks, and opening his eyes, he saw a little house on a beach. There were two old sailors sitting inside the house. Although they were alone, they sat at their little table, their tough old hands each holding a cup of beer, and wished each other a Merry Christmas. Then the older sailor sang a song. He looked as if he were as old and strong as the earth itself. Then they were flying over the water again, and Scrooge saw a ship below them. There were some men on the ship who were walking around. Scrooge found that he could read the men's minds. There wasn't one man on the ship who did not hum a Christmas song, or have a Christmas thought, or remember a Christmas day in his past, or think of some loved person. Every man on the ship had a good or kind thing to say to his friends, more on that day than any other day of the year. Each man had celebrated Christmas the best he could on that ship, and remembered his family, and known that they also were thinking of him.